There once was a woman who lived in Boston 30 years ago. She was trying to furnish her home. And so she did as she usually does to find pieces for her home. She combed through the community, local garage sales and estate sales, hoping to find the perfect but inexpensive piece to add to her home. She came across a garage sale that had an old wooden table that seemed to fit in with the rest of the decor in her house. And so she purchased it back in 1967 for $25. There it sat in her home all the way through 30 years untouched in its original finish. One day a few years ago, the woman decided to have some folks look at this 30-year-old table. She took it to an appraiser. And they examined the table closely and found that this table was, in fact, not 30 years old, but over 200 years old. It was an old Federal-style card table made by John and Thomas Seymour back when our country was born. The table had its original finish, and underneath the table had an original label marking who had made it over two centuries ago. She was astonished to find that this $25 garage sale piece that she purchased 30 years ago could sell on the market now for about $250,000. There was a teenager who lived in Baytown, Texas, and he had dreams and aspirations of becoming a rock star. And he knew that in order to be a rock star, you needed to know how to play an instrument, arguably, I suppose. And so he decided that his instrument of choice was going to be a guitar. And fortunately for him, his family knew of a guitar that he could have. It was one that belonged to his grandfather, and he could have it for nothing. Way back when, his grandfather had purchased that guitar for $20. It wasn't the prettiest thing, but it wasn't the most expensive either. So this just starting out guitar player picked up this guitar and he practiced and he played and he played and he sang and he sounded terrible. Much as he tried, he couldn't keep those strings in tune. He couldn't get the chords to sound just right. I know what that's like. And he just couldn't make his voice match the terrible sounds of this guitar. So he decided to get this guitar fixed one day. And the person he took the guitar to said, you know, there's some damage to this guitar, some permanent damage that we can't fix. And as he was looking at this guitar, the repairman said, you know, there's an autograph on this guitar. I don't know if you've noticed it. Turns out the autograph was by someone named Jimi Hendrix. Turns out the guitar was originally owned by this boy's uncle who played in a band with this great rock guitarist. And about that same time, that very guitar was on stage during a concert when Jimi Hendrix smashed the guitar during a song. And somehow it wound up in this boy's hands. This guitar that cost him nothing, that cost the grandfather only $20 years ago, was now estimated at $70,000. Now owned by a teenager who had just learned how to play guitar just 2 months prior. Not bad. Both of these stories come from a popular show on the public broadcasting channel called The Antiques Roadshow. Perhaps you're familiar with this wildly popular show as people from ordinary walks of life bring in seemingly ordinary junk to find out that what they indeed have is not ordinary junk, but priceless treasure. But hear this third story. This third story comes from the great public broadcaster. Recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. There once was a man who sold all that he had, gave away all his possessions in order to purchase a piece of land. All of his life savings, all of his earnings, everything that he had accumulated in life was now used to purchase this field. You can imagine how his neighbors must have shunned him, his friends must have ridiculed him, saying, what a crazy thing to do. All that you have worked for and saved in your life now dumped into some clumps of dirt. Turns out that this penniless man one day walked over to his newly purchased piece of property and found what he knew was there. a treasure that someone had hidden, that he had discovered. A treasure of priceless value, inestimable worth, immeasurable cost. Right there, in the middle of that field that he sacrificed everything for. Dear ones, how many people have lived their entire lives in search of hidden treasure? Not the kind of treasure that you could hold or touch. I'm not talking about gold and silver. I'm afraid those things are easier to come by than the treasure that Jesus speaks about in this passage. Some have searched for it and never found it. Some have searched for this hidden treasure in fields of pleasure, like Lord Byron, who lived a life of pleasure, if anyone did. But you know, before he died, he said, "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone." Some have searched in a field of money. Jay Gould, the American multimillionaire, had plenty of money. But before he died, he said, "I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth." Some have searched in a field of position and fame. Lord Beaconsfield lived long ago and certainly had plenty of prestige and power. But before he died, he wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood is a struggle, and old age is a regret." What a miserable life. And some have even searched for this hidden treasure in a field of military might and conquest, like Alexander the Great, who had conquered every single piece of land known to his day. But before he died, he wept bitter tears in his tent as he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." So many people fall short of finding the treasure that Jesus speaks of, a life of joy, a life of relationship with God, communion with the Savior, knowing that you're forgiven and free. What a sad story when people sell their souls to purchase a field only to find that that field is empty. So sure enough, Jesus' story this morning comes to you if you are searching for that treasure in your life. And it's an invitation for you to come and give all that you are at the feet of our Lord so that you can find the treasure of grace and forgiveness in Him. And to give your entire life over to Him in obedience and surrender. You have never found this treasure this morning. It is yours for the asking today. What would have happened if this man who had purchased this field with all of his life savings and knowing that his treasure was in his field decided to keep it hidden, to keep it buried deep underground, never to share it with others, never to know and experience the pleasure that it brings, never to reap all of its benefits? It would be a sad story, wouldn't it? It would be as sad a story as if the man had never found it to begin with. Yet there are those who have lived and who have indeed accepted Christ and who are followers of God and who are Christians and have received this incredible treasure and forgiveness, but have still kept it hidden. But still keep it deep down, buried within them. I think of all the things that we use to keep the treasure of Christ and the treasure of love and peace hidden within our lives. Hear Jesus' words again and focus on one word. One word. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid, and then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. This was not a sorrowful moment for this man. This was not a treasure he was ashamed of. This was not a treasure he wanted to keep hidden. This was a man motivated by joy. Perhaps there are some of us this morning who fall into this category, keeping our treasure hidden. How foolish it would be to give yourself over to Christ, yet never allow yourself to feel the joy of being alive in Christ. How foolish it would be to be called a child of God, yet never allow yourself to be a playful child in the presence of a loving parent, a loving God. How foolish it would be to be forgiven and free, yet allow yourself to still be bound by guilt, low self-esteem. Your treasure is too valuable to not let it affect you. Your treasure is too valuable to not share it with others. Your treasure is too valuable to not feel the joy of having it. It would be like that young man with that $20 guitar, never knowing that what he had in his hands actually was a $70,000 guitar. How much more it is for us who have a priceless treasure within ourselves that God has given to us, yet treating it like it's a trinket, treating it like it's a label. It is much more than that. It is more valuable than we will ever know. C.S. Lewis once said, "There is too much solemnity and intensity in dealing with sacred matters. Too much speaking holy tones. The tragic loss in all this pious gamesmanship is to the individual in the pew, who begins to feel that in the midst of the religious razzle-dazzle, he or she cannot get through to the Lord Himself. We have learned that joy is more than a sense of the comic, more than earthly pleasure, and to a believer, even more than what we call happiness. Joy is enjoyment and the good things that come from the hand of God. If our freedom in Christ is a piece of angel food cake, joy is the frosting. If the Bible gives us the wonderful words of life, then joy supplies the song. If the way to heaven turns out to be an arduous, steep climb, then joy provides the chairlift." Dear ones, try it this week. Try it this week. Smile a hearty smile because of God's grace. Dance a joyful dance because of God's forgiveness. Lose yourself in reckless abandon because of Christ's triumph on the cross. Shed the inhibitions of a culture that says in order for you to be religious, you have to be serious. Take a lesson from our biker friends, who don't look like the most serious bunch, frankly. But you know what they do. They share their joy. Like yesterday when you went on a ride to that children's home and shared the love of Jesus with people and showed little kids that you don't have to be stodgy stuffed shirts to be Christians, right? You can be joyful people and show it in how what you do and what you say and what you wear. A lesson from the bikers. Lose the stereotypes of Christians as being killjoys, stuffed shirts. Forget about society's urges that say you have to be reserved and private in your faith. After all, this is a treasure that you've got to share. And by all means, you're a child of God. So act like it. I've included in the bulletin for you a prayer by A.W. Tozer. I invite you to turn to this now. It's on the back of the insert. May it serve as an inspiration for you this day to give yourself over completely to God and receive in full confidence the life of joy and peace that comes from God. Can we join together in unison in this prayer? And let this be your prayer today and in days to come. Father, I want to know Thee, but my coward heart fears to give up its toys. I cannot part with them without inward bleeding, and I do not try to hide from Thee the terror of the parting. I come trembling, but I do come. Please root from my heart all those things which I have cherished so long and which have become a very part of my living self, so that Thou mayest enter and dwell there without a rival. Then shalt Thou make the place of Thy feet glorious. Then shall my heart have not need of the sun to shine in it, for Thyself will be the light of it, and there shall be no night there. In Jesus' name, amen. The life of joy, a hidden treasure worth buying the farm for. Go ahead and lose yourself in God. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen. final hymn is found.